And good sunny Saturday afternoon to everyone out there listening today. It is a beautiful day. I hope if you have not been outside today that you will go get in your car, turn the radio on, listen to Woods and Water South Carolina, and go to your nearest park, lake, or somewhere where you can get out and enjoy this weather. It's absolutely gorgeous out there. Like I said, my name is Roger Metz, and you're listening to Woods and Water South Carolina on 94.5 WGTK. The numbers to call the show today are 235-9405 in the upstate and 877-235-9405 anywhere else. I have not been to Cabela's, but today I'd like for somebody who has been there to call me. I've got mixed emotions about them coming to Greenville. But just somebody, I want to ask somebody a few questions. So after the 15-minute break, that'd be 3:15, if somebody would call in, I'd love to talk to you. I just want to ask you a few questions about your experience and that sort of thing, and then I'll elaborate a little later on. Like I said, I hope you got out this week, today, tomorrow, and I'm not talking about getting out and going to cut grass. I did that this morning. That does not count as going outside and doing something. I'm talking about more, you know, hiking, camping, fishing, that sort of thing. It was a gorgeous week. I got to see a little bit of it from inside my car as I drove around Greenville. I've got some loggers at the house taking down a bunch of pine trees, and I wanted to go get my chainsaw and go join them. Couldn't, had too much work to do. I did, however, buddy of mine, we went trout fishing for a few hours this week, and I was rusty. First trip of the year, normally by this time I've been 3, 4, 5 times, but between the weather and work, you know, it's just kind of made it hard to get out. But we went, got a few hours in, caught a few fish. First time of the year when you get in the water, the stones are slipperier than you remember last year and a little more hesitant. And the last time I was, had a fly rod in my hand, I was throwing a big sinking tip and going to a 4-weight, and it just didn't look good. I'm sure it wasn't pretty. I picked up a little extra something. Didn't know I had. Got a call. My buddy said, do you have part of my fly rod? I said, no, I don't think so. He said, well, please check. He said, I'm afraid I left half my fly rod on top of the car. So I went over to my desk, and sure enough, there's the top half of his fly rod. So I'm sorry about that, Kev. I'll get it to you someday this week, and then we'll hit the water again soon. Interesting week around my house. Like I said, I got a bunch of pine trees coming down. But my Labrador, Sophie, you know, women have good taste. They have expensive taste. And so Sophie decided somehow or another, I cannot figure out how she got in and did this. She went behind my desk into another little room and pulled out a box of shotgun shells. Now, we're not talking the $5 Remington that, you know, I would have rather her got. No, she got a box of 12-gauge heavy shot. And if you know anything about duck hunting and non-toxic shot, well, you know what I'm talking about. This stuff is not cheap. And I kept, my girls were fine because I was out of the office most of the week, and I'd come back to the house and I'd go to my office and there'd be a couple more chewed up shotgun shells sitting on my desk. I'm like, where is she getting this? And I still haven't figured out where she was getting from. So obviously she found a way to get into that room and get them. So I lost about half a box of 12-gauge shotgun shells this week. And when I vacuumed my office this morning, the shot being picked up, I don't know how many pieces of shots in a 12-gauge 3-inch heavy shot shell, but the vacuum cleaner did not have a good time back in my office today. So thanks, Sophie. You owe me a box of shells, or you owe me a lot better duck retrieves this year than last year. So hope your week went good. Let's go to the calendar of events. Again, every week we're trying to get information out to you of things you can do, things you can go locally or across the state, and get outside and do something, hopefully with your family. If not with your family, with a good friend. It's up to you, but I'm putting this information out. I hope you do something with it. I was up at Sunrift Adventures this week talking to them, and they have tomorrow from 12 to 4 at Parris Mountain State Park, they're going to have their demo day. This is their big spring demo day. I talked with Matthew Kraft, and they're going to have over 150 boats, kayaks, canoes, fishing kayaks, stand-up paddle boards. I have to hand it to those people that stand-up paddle boards. That looks like some work. I haven't tried one yet. I may sometime this summer, but it looks like an awful lot of work to me. But it looks fun, and if you're into that, then this is for you, Parris Mountain State Park, 12 to 4 tomorrow. There's a $5 charge to get in to the demo area. All the proceeds go to Friends of Paris Mountain Fund. Also tomorrow, all boat and boating accessories will be on sale, at least 10% off, some much more. If you want more details, go to www.sunriff.com or call the store and talk to someone there. They'll be glad to help you figure out how to go enjoy and you know, go buy something. Go support the local economy. Last week I talked a lot about outdoor camps, and in doing some research for this show, somehow or another I wound up on the Roper Mountain Science Center website, and I was scrolling down. A lot of their camps are full. They evidently keep up with this very well, because a lot of them have big, bold, full across when the camps are full. But I saw a couple that were really neat. For your upper school kids, they have it headed completed grades 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11th, and adults. Animal night hikes. That sounds pretty fun. It says explore the woods at night and discover the sights and sounds in this twilight camp. You're going to have the first hike will be at Roper Mountain Science Center. The following three nights, they're going to travel out by bus and hike at dusk into swamps and mountains nearby. Listen to tree frogs, owls, watch fireflies, other nocturnal animals like the beavers. I know they're going to go to Paris Mountain State Park, which probably has beavers on that lake. They're going to go to Roper Mountain. Of course, they're going to be every camp, when they come back, they're going to end every camp with a bonfire. So on Friday night, it is a cost, $145 for the Roper Mountain Science Center members, $165 if you're not a member. Session Monday through Friday, June 16th to 20th, 7 to 10 p.m. Just if you have a child in that grade area. Nighttime in the woods is fun. A good group of people makes it even funner, because if you're going in the woods at night by yourself, hair tends to stand up on the back of your neck and that sort of thing. But just something I picked up this summer in June. Check into it. It might be something you want to do. They also have adventure trips for families and adults. And one of their trips, and I mentioned it the first show, through the South Carolina State Parks, where you went up to Devil's Fork on Lake Jocassee and did a four waterfall tour. Roper Mountain has a waterfall exploration this summer. They're going to 200-foot waterfalls, Pinnacle Falls and Twin Falls. The hikes are easy. They say there's one with a short, moderately difficult climb. It's $15 a person if you're a member, $19 if you're non-member. That takes place Friday, June 20th, 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. The minimum age is 8 years old. Again, a good family thing to go do. They're also doing a blackwater canoe trip. Now, this will be on the Edisto River through the Tupelo and Cypress swamps. Float in a 2 to 4 mile an hour current for 10 miles on the upper Edisto. That's a really cool river to be on. A friend of mine has hooked me up with a 3,400 acres of land down in now outside Charleston. We're going to go hunt it a few times, and it backs up the Edisto River. He's been sending me all sorts of pictures of the backwaters and turkey tracks and deer tracks and pig sign and that sort of thing. Edisto River, I think he and I are going to do something like this summer. $55 a person for members, $65 non-members. That's Saturday, July 26th. The reason I'm giving you these two up front, even though they're quite a ways out, is because these things do book up. If you're interested, Roper Mountain Science Center is the place to go. I have a lot of poetic license here. We're going to get to one more. He's signaling me with a break. From, again, on April 12th, which is a big day here, the 5th annual Wings and Wheels for Meals, Pickens County Airport. It's a fundraiser for Meals on Wheels, Pickens County. Airplane and helicopter rides, $25 per person. Classic custom cars, admissions free for the show, awards will be given. They ask for a $10 donation. Why not support a good cause? They have prize drawings. You can go to their Facebook page, facebook.com/events/203. Anyway, it's through Meals on Wheels in Pickens County. We have a break coming up. Join us back here on the other side. Welcome back to Woods and Water, South Carolina, here on 94.5 WGTK. If you want to call in, the numbers are 235-9405 and 877-235-9405. Like I said, this from here on to the end of the show, I want to hear some people who have been to Cabela's. If you went out there this week, call in. I'd like just like to ask a few questions, have you talk about it a little bit. Do that if you will. In the meantime, we'll continue on a couple of more things that I didn't get to last segment. Department of Natural Resources, boater education. Summertime's coming. You're going to get the boat out of the garage. You're going to get it checked out by your mechanic, or at least you hope you will before you get it out on the water. At least you'll run it, make sure it's funneling water through the pump systems. They are offering boater education courses. Now, some of these, in fact, a lot of them are not here in the upstate, but they're spread out across the state. There's one on the 12th of April in Clemson, one in Sumter on the 12th, one in Florence on the 12th, one in Bluffton on the 12th, Isle of Palms, and it goes on. You can find these at Department of Natural Resources. But it's a good idea to get that boater education course, especially if this is your first year boating. It's a good idea, just like your hunter education before you go hunting. It's just a basic course. And so in connection with that, I went to the DNR and pulled up their boater education page. And it says, who needs a boater education course? Anybody under 16 years of age is required by law to pass an approved boater education course before operating, without supervision, of course. In other words, this is them by themselves, a personal watercraft or a boat powered by 15 horsepower motor or more. It's very easy. It's essentially the same criteria or setup that the hunter education was last week. They're instructor-led classes, and some of those are you can find across the state. And the nice thing about these are is when you go to their webpage, they actually tell you, like the one in Sumter, South Carolina, on April the 12th, registration's open, 29 of 35 seats remaining. And it tells you where it is in Sumter and the time, 8:30 to 4 o'clock. So it's very user-friendly to find one of these. Again, if you're 16 years old, and even if you're older than that, a boater education is just a good course to have. You have the instructor-led classes. It's a free six-hour course. There again, schedules on the Department of Natural Resources. There's an online self-study course. It's $29.50 after you pass the final test. The video home study course, it's $24.95 plus $5 shipping and handling. Good thing to have now that summertime's coming. Everybody needs to be responsible out there on the water. And what better way to do it than having the boater education course? Department of Natural Resources hosting their youth fishing rodeos and family fishing clinics around the state. I went to Columbia about 2 years ago. I got an email and they were asking for volunteers to come down and get certified to train other people who want to learn how to fish. And we're certified fishing clinic instructors. I'm not a very good one because I haven't done one yet. Time wise, it just did not work out, but I went, got certified. I've kept in touch with the DNR Fisheries Division. They're going to be on the air with me. I was trying to get them here sooner, but the head of that department is Lorianne Riggin. She's full up this month with baby showers, and then she's going to have her child. So she's trying to get somebody else to come on and talk about that, and we'll go into a lot more detail. But the fishing rodeos are pretty much set up in the state. They're at different parks around the state. They're free. There will be volunteers there to help you, help your child. If you've never been fishing, this is a great opportunity to go. These ponds that they're doing, they're stocked. It's not like you're going to have to sit there and wait for that cork to go under. There are fish there. You will catch fish. There are some coming up. Aiken, South Carolina, Sesquicentennial State Park in Columbia on April the 13th, Drear Island State Park on the 19th. That's down on Lake Murray. They're scattered across. And again, you can find these details at Department of Natural Resources. The beauty of the family fishing clinic is if you find 15 to 20 people who want to learn how to fish, either adults and kids or all kids, you can contact the Freshwater Fisheries Division, South Carolina Department of Natural Resources, and they will help you set up in your area a fishing clinic. And we bring in all the equipment, all the fishing rods, the tackle, and we do get bait donated and that sort of thing, but everything will be provided. All you have to do is show up. We teach you how to put a rod on a reel, how to thread line through the end of the rod, how to put a hook on it. It's a real easy way to spend a Saturday or a Sunday with your kids, having a good time fishing. It's something there that our Department of Natural Resources puts on. Very easy. Take advantage of it. Kids, you will love it. And who wouldn't enjoy catching a bunch of fish? Some DNR news. And I'm still waiting for somebody to call in about Cabela's. 235-9405. I'm not going to grill you. I just want a little bit of feedback from you about your experience and why you went. This week, the Harry Hampton, and we talked a lot last week about the Palmetto Sportsman's Classic. This week, Harry Hampton Wildlife Fund, which is a totally private, non-profit corporation that's driven with funds, private donations, special promotional projects, fundraising events, and that sort of thing. They donated $134,525 to the Department of Natural Resources. They do this once a year. They are set up to partner with the Department of Natural Resources, help them do and support things like the Palmetto Sportsman's Classic, the law enforcement program, Hooked on Fishing, Not on Drugs, youth fishing radios, which we just talked about, the educational vessel Discovery that's down at the coast that we talked about last week, and the Bruce Rush Artificial Reef, which several of those projects we talked about last week, they are also supported by Pittman Robertson money. And there's a good write-up about the Harry Hampton Fund. If you don't know about it, check in with them. And you'll see nonprofit. And some of the funds have, of course, the Bruce Rush Artificial Reef, scholarship programs, Becoming an Outdoor Woman's program, Camp Wildwood, Riverbank Zoo, Striped Bass Research, another one of these organizations that is here in the state that is in to help with the outdoors. Get you involved, make places to go. Jocassee Gorges, youth fishing radios, we just talked about those again. From the Outdoor Wire, let's see, I think we have someone on the call. Dave's talking to somebody. From the Outdoor Wire, the EPA, and you may have read about this, has come out with regulations on wetlands and that sort of thing. And it's kind of one of those things when a government agency comes out and said, this is the fix for everything, you wonder. I don't like to get too technical on this and too political. Part of me, as a fisherman, duck hunter, that sort of thing, I like wetlands protection. Part of me says most government programs are heavy-handed and overbearing. This may be one of them. It's yet to be determined, but I know there's a lot of pushback on this because especially in the Midwest where you have these seasonal wetlands, a lot of the farmers say, you know, if you come down with these new rules, we're out of business. I don't know. What do you think? It's a fine line and a delicate balance in wildlife and preservation, that sort of thing. But it's an issue we all have to deal with. And I think we have a call, Doug Simpsonville. He's been to Cabela's. Doug, are you there?
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Have you ever been to a Cabela's before?
No, I've never been to a Cabela's. I've been to Bass Pros all over, but not to Cabela's.
Okay. First impression?
Well, after being in Bass Pro Shops stores in several locations, it's somewhat similar to that experience.
Okay.
They've got the same type of equipment. They don't have boats. That's the biggest difference I saw between that and Bass Pro.
Right.
Price-wise, nothing really shocked me as far as what things cost. You know, pretty normal.
Okay.
With the firearms and the ammunition. They had plenty of ammunition of all kinds.
Okay.
They were limiting the 22 caliber and 17 caliber. But other than that, everything is really nice inside. You know, they really did it well. It's not easy to get around. move around and see things.
Okay.
I had plenty of everything. Of course, it's a brand new store.
Right, right. Yeah, they wouldn't open a store with bare shelves like a lot of our stores around here have a lot of times.
That's true. No, they were. It was very well stocked. The people that the employees there, they seemed to know what they were doing. There was quite a few people there while I was there, but because I was able to get in a day early before the grand opening.
You're a Cabela's card member holder.
Yeah.
Okay.
And, I got in there a day early and got to look around a little bit. And, it was crowded, but not overly crowded. And yet there's about maybe a 5 or 10 minute wait at the register. So,
Let me ask you: Will you tend more to buy from Cabela's, or will you, after the news is worn off, will you go back to shopping at the local stores?
It depends on price. If they have a sale, just like any of the other stores around, you know, I may go in there, but. They've got probably some more variety of specialty items than some of the other stores would have.
Okay, Doug. Well, I appreciate you calling in and sharing it with me.
Hey, no problem, man.
Have a good day.
You too. Bye.
And we have Dell on. I think he went to Cabela's too. Dell, are you there?
Yes, it's Dell Gew.
Dell Gew.
Yeah.
Dave, can we dump this guy before he starts? And how are you, Dell Gew? Do you still have your hair?
Yeah, been living with a female panther.
Something about a woman's heart is the hardest man substance I've ever seen, and I could find no sign on it.
Yeah.
If I'm sorry if you're listening to this. This is my brother, Paul. The sheer tip-off was leading off with Robert Redford in a movie. He's got a one-track mind, and it's all out west. All right, you and I had a conversation the other day about Cabela's, because you and I have both been to the Sydney, Nebraska store when it was the only one there.
Yeah.
And you and I have both seen the proliferation of it and Bass Pro Shop along.
Right.
So our conversation yesterday, just kind of recap it a little bit.
Excuse me, coughing.
It's okay.
I've been to three Cabela's. I've been to one in Sydney, Nebraska. Couple times there. I've been one up in Pennsylvania, and I've been to one in Colorado that was more of a smaller, just in a shopping mall type store.
Got a minute? But, hurry up!
Huh?
Got a minute? Hurry up!
Okay. Well, you know, my feeling on it was this thing is big. It's bigger than all the other Cabela's I've been in, and the one I went to in Pennsylvania seemed to have more of a Bass Pro Shop feel to it than this one, but this one felt like Cabela's, and it felt very like I was in the Twilight Zone, because Cabela's has always been something you go way off to do, and they had it right here in Greenville. I went in there and had a pocket full of money and a bunch of points on my Cabela's card and a $50 off coupon, and I came out with all of them. I didn't buy anything. It's something about once I got in there and I realized it's going to be here all the time, there's really no hurry to purchase anything right now. So it was nice, and it's big. They've got everything. And following up on your conversation with the other guy, I don't know that they'll change my buying habits much. I'll probably still buy things from Cabela's that I have been. I may go there rather than order it, but I'll buy locally the things I've been buying locally too. I don't see it changing it that much.
Okay. Well, that's what I was getting at. I mean, I know it's new. A lot of people are going to go there because it's new. They've never been to a Cabela's. But we got to remember that Cabela's is a big company. We've got local stores here that have as much selection that you could go to and buy the same things. Talk to you on the other side. And welcome back to Woods and Water, South Carolina, here on 94.5 WGTK. If you want to call in, and I'll still take calls on whatever you want to talk about. If you want to call in and give me your Cabela's experience, that will be fine. The number is 235-9405, out of the area, 877-235-9405. I guess what I was trying to get at with the Cabela's call, and like I said, if you want to call me and give your opinion of Cabela's or how you thought about it, I'm just trying to get an impression of yes, Cabela's is new to Greenville. It's going to be a traffic nightmare on Woodruff Road. I don't know. My wife was out on Woodruff last night, and she said it was eerily quiet. And I wondered if that was because a lot of people were saying it's going to be so bad, I don't even want to go out there the week they open. And that may not have been the case. I don't think she was right there in front of it. I think she was a little further down Woodruff Road. And I guess the big thing I'm trying to get to is, yes, Cabela's is nice. It's got stuff. But it's not stuff you can't get from stores around for the most part. There are some specialty items you may not be able to get. But the local stores, and I make no bones about it, I love small business in America. The local stores can get that stuff too. I don't think the price difference is going to be that much different between Cabela's and one of on a gun and say Dewey's Pawn Shop or somebody like that. You got Stan Luthy just reopened Luthy's Outfitters here in Greenville. Local store. Businessman taking a chance. Support them, not support them. Do you think once the newness of Cabela's is gone that people will go back to buying from the local people? And don't forget, now you have to pay sales tax on Cabela's. You know, before when it was a mail order thing, you know, you tried to figure up, you weighed, and I've done this myself, so I can fully understand. You weighed how much you had to buy before the shipping was right, and you loved when those little $10 shipping or flat rate shipping things came in, and you could order for them. Well, according to South Carolina Department of Revenue, you should have already been voluntarily reporting and paying taxes on your tax return for internet purchases. That really has gotten a lot of notice since Amazon came, and then you've got, you know, Greenville County Council wanting to pass a 1% sales tax so they can build a parallel corridor to Woodruff Road. I don't know. Something to think about. I hope you'll still support your local businesses and shops, gun stores, archery ranges, that sort of thing, after you've been to Cabela's and seen what all is there. If you do go today, though, and I have talked about the NASP archery program in South Carolina, I understand that today and tomorrow, a lot of the kids that participate in that archery program are going to be at the Cabela's working the kids' booth area, helping kids shoot bows and arrows. So if you see those while you're out there, congratulate them on their good showing last week at the Classic and thank them for volunteering to help out other kids. That takes a lot of intestinal fortitude, I guess, to get out and share what you enjoy with somebody else. Take time out of your Saturday and Sunday to go to help out. So if you'd like to call in about Cabela's, please do. I'll still like to talk to you, but that's just my opinion on it is new. I've seen the Cabela's, when you walk in the door, they start out on the plains and it gradually goes up into the high mountains. You've got the mounts and everything, and there's just so much stuff. I'll probably go this week, but I don't know that I'll buy anything. And I think part of that is because I've got so much stuff already. If I didn't have things that I needed or that sort of thing, maybe. But then again, I like going in and rubbing shoulders with the little guy and that sort of thing. That's just me. A couple of things I didn't get to last week that I wanted to this week before it went another week. Our men's ministry at Taylor's First, they go shooting every Thursday. That's one part of it. And last week, or 2 weeks ago, we went bowling with handguns. Now, I have knocked over a lot of bowling pins in my day. Most of them up here at Wade Hampton Bowl. Most of it on Friday nights when they used to have the 11 o'clock to 3 a.m. rockin' bowl with the black lights and the music and all. Great time. A lot of you probably did the same thing. But we went bowling with handguns. Double elimination rounds, 5 pins. And it was a blast. I am not a handgun person. Give me a shotgun, I'm happy as a lark. But I'll have to say the difference between going and shooting a paper target and going and shooting a bowling pin, I'll be there for every one of those. If you've never done it, it's really fun. We did it over here at Sharpshooters. I don't know what it takes to get them to let you have, because we took up, I want to say 5 or 6 regular lanes or half the shooting range to do this. Being a first timer, of course I had first time luck. I went all the way through, was undefeated. Everybody else went through the loser bracket. And of course, the more they shot, the more nervous I got. So when it came down to the last two matches, I got beat twice in a row. I folded like a cheap, whatever you want to say. But it was very, very fun. Contact them if you don't, if you like to shoot or you want to take your kids shooting. It just, it's a whole nother dimension to shooting a paper target. If you're a guy and you don't have somebody to go with to do that, contact the men's ministry at Taylor's First Baptist. Glad to have you go with us. I understand next Thursday or the third, we do it every third Thursday. The next time we go, they're going to do some kind of moving match or whatever where you run from position to position down the range and they penalize you for misses. It's still time. It really, I'm going to be there. I'm hooked now. Like I need something else to get hooked on. But if you want to go, feel free to come join us. If you've got a bunch of guys, contact sharpshooters, see what it takes to go bowling with handguns. You will have a blast. Also last week or 2 weeks ago, we had some big catfish stories here in South Carolina. Both of them on the Cooper River. Both of them right down there where we were shad fishing the week before. One of the guys, they were reeling in a shad and an 82-pound blue catfish chased the shad, jumped out of the water onto the rocks, and the guys pinned it. 82-pound blue catfish will make a lot of catfish stew, I'm sure. The other story was somebody on the Cooper River caught an 80-pound flathead. Now, it weighed different the first time they weighed it. And by the time the Department of Natural Resources brought certified scales, it weighed less, of course. But it could be a new state record. The only hitch here is that Department of Natural Resources has a rule that a new state record must surpass a former state record by 8 ounces. And right now that one doesn't. It's going to go down. It looks like it's going to go down like as a tie for the largest flathead catfish in South Carolina, which is, I saw where the guy said, you know, if I cross the finish line before you, it doesn't matter if I beat you by a whole foot or the tip of a toe, I still beat you and I should be able to be number one. And I have to kind of agree with him on that. But in Department of Natural Resources defense, when this rule was implemented, I'm sure it was the scales had a lot of leeway in them. They weren't near as specific and exact as they are today. Interesting conundrum they gotten their stuff into. It'll be interesting to see if they go back and revisit this or if it actually does end up and go in state record books as a tie. Be interesting to see. Moving on. Friend called me the other day. He was on his way to Charleston. He said there are lots of big boats headed for the coast. I hope they didn't expect to go down there and fish because the bridge run was taking place and they had most of Charleston closed down, I understand. And in there, one of my friends sent me a message today. They found the skin of a gaboon viper at an apartment complex close to where the bridge run was taking place. Gaboon vipers are considered highly aggressive. They have fangs up to 2 inches long. And I'm not a runner, but if you put me down there and told me there was a gaboon viper behind me, I would run that bridge faster than anybody else would. Lots of big boats headed. The offshore fishing season is about to heat up. And in there are a couple stories out. Big discussions here over the past couple years over the way the offshore waters are restricted, MPAs, good or bad, but they're there. They want to build more of them. And it's taken out a lot of live bottom. A lot of productive fishing areas are being essentially cordoned off. You can't fish in them. And that's really impacting the offshore fishing, especially up and down the East Coast and around Florida. They have had several congressional meetings. They're revising Magnuson-Stevens Fisheries Conservation Management Act. A lot of big names have been in Washington. American Sport Fishing Association. I know that Bass Pro Shops founder has been there. All trying to say, look, saltwater fishing is a huge industry. You know, we pump $27 billion into the economies, sustaining 450,000 jobs. you know, when you look at fisheries management, look at it as benefiting the fishermen who are charged with paying for all this. And there are going to be more hearings. And in South Carolina, we have actually introduced a bill in South Carolina, a concurrent resolution to oppose any additional live bottom marine protected areas off the coast of South Carolina associated with the South Atlantic Fishery Management Council's regulations. Be interesting to keep up with this. I'll keep you posted as more of this. It's right now, it's in the Senate Fish, Game, and Forestry Subcommittee. Keep you posted as it comes up. Join us again on the other side. Last segment. See you there. And welcome back to Woods and Water, South Carolina. Numbers, if you want to call in, 235-9405. Love to hear from you. Doesn't matter what you want to talk about as long as it's about the outdoors. Last week when I was at the Classic and I brought this in, but didn't have a chance to get to it, and I want Dave, my trusty engineer, to chime in with this. Of course, everybody down there is selling some kind of rub or spice or something to do with cooking, and we're going to cover cooking on this show later on. I've got some things lined up, and I think you'll really enjoy it. But as I was, there was one guy there, he was actually doing Boston Butts with his rub, and his rub is a Dixie Dirt. His name, and I'll give him credit because he gave me the recipe I'm going to share with you, is Jeff Grimes out of Andalusia, Alabama, and it's www.dixiedirtrub.com. Now, you can do this pretty much with any grilling rub you want to, but it was a really simple recipe, and it was good. What he had a like a chip holder, big round, wasn't a plastic. Oh, my mind has just left me right now. Anyway, you understand what I'm talking about. And in it, he had these Keebler mini clubs, and they had something on them. And I said, "What is this?" And he goes, "Well, try a few." And I tried a few, and they were really good. And it was really simple. His recipe, and if you want to write this down, it's just a good little easy snack recipe. It just gives those mini clubs just a little bit something different. Like I said, you don't have to use Dixie Dirt. You can use whatever you have. His recipe was 2 boxes of Keebler mini clubs, 1 cup of canola oil, and 3 teaspoons of seasoning. Now, I didn't buy 2 boxes because I didn't know, my family doesn't like hot things. I'd be the only one eating it. So I kind of carved it down a little bit. But it's very easy. You take the canola oil, put it in a Ziploc bag. You take your spices and put it in a Ziploc bag with it. And you dump your crackers in and shake it around. You on the air, Dave?
I'm here.
You're here. I'd made some and brought them to the station today. What do you think?
They're really good. I really liked them.
And it was really easy. And I told Dave this earlier, too. I said, and I left these out and ate them 2 or 3 days later, and they did not soak up that oil.
I was going to say, because they're nice and flavorful. They got a nice kick to it, but it's not overbearing, and they're not greasy, not heavy. You know, you can eat a bunch of them and not feel, you know, like you should go run a couple miles.
That's exactly right. Well, whatever's left over in the container after everybody gets through is yours to take.
Left over where? All that's in here is an empty container.
Well, then at least I need to take the empty container home because my wife will be looking for it then.
Yes, they like those apparently.
They do. Thanks, Dave. But it's a real simple one. If you missed the recipe, his recipe was 2 boxes of Keebler mini clubs. Those are the little, they're probably 1 inch long by 1/2 inch wide. 1 cup of canola oil, three teaspoons. Of whatever rub you want to put in it, and it really, you can make it more, give it more spice or whatever. Just a really cool for one of those snacky little things around the house. It's just a little different. Like I said, that was one of those booths that I went to about 3 or 4 times, grabbing a little bit every time I went. And I went back at 4 o'clock. He actually had done some Boston Butts and was cutting them in it. And the rub was really good on his Boston Butts too. So that's just one of those things I wanted to share with you. If you use it, I hope you like it. Try it. I cut mine down to 1/2 box of Keebler clubs, 1/4 cup of canola oil, and then maybe 1 teaspoon, maybe a little more. So, and you can vary that recipe. But it's just one of those little things that's so simple, but yet tastes so good. Moving on. Turkey season's here, of course. I got my tags, and I have put them, officially put them in the drawer. I may pull them out, but I'm a horrible turkey guy. Maybe I'll get them out, but right now I just don't even want to think about it. However, spring is here. The other day, my brother and I were talking. We're planning our annual Chattooga River fishing trip. We go up with some of our friends, and actually now there's three generations of men that go with us. It's a really good time. We camp out overnight. We used to hike in a long way. In fact, we've hiked from the 28 Bridge all the way up over and camped in the middle, and you parked two cars and done that. The older we get, now we like to just load everything into a cart and park at Burles Ford and down to the river camp, and then we fish out. A couple of years ago, I parked at the fish hatchery and walked all the way down, and that was a mistake doing that right after April 15th, when I've been sitting for 4 months. So I started looking around, and I found a really neat little hike that's really close to the upstate. It's the Mountain Bridge Passage Trail. If you know where the old Camp Spearhead used to be, that's where it starts. You can also access it from Persimmon. It parallels a road right there. And I had that road on another piece of paper, but I don't. But anyway, you can park right there at the old Camp Spearhead. Don't go through the gate, but you can take off to the left right there before you get to the camp entrance. If you go past Camp Spearhead, that's Persimmon Hill Road, I want to say is the name of the road. And there's actually a pull-off to the right after the pavement ends. And that's part of the Mountain Bridge Wilderness and the Ashmore Heritage Preserve. Mr. Ashmore donated that land. It's got a lake on it. And the little hike I was looking at making is going right there. It's about a 2.5 mile, and you kind of crisscross the midpoint a couple times, but you park there and you walk down and back to the right, which would be downstream, and it goes to a lake, and it's a pretty little lake. And you can walk around it, and then you walk back up, and you cross the initial point again. The trail, it actually is a mountain bridge trail. It crosses itself a couple of times, depending on where you want to go with it. And it runs up, and there's a very pretty waterfall up there. And it's about 2.5 miles, and I think before I go this year and do a 5 or 6 mile hike up the Chattooga River, I think I'm going to go practice this. The nice thing about this is it's one of those things. It looks like it's very easy to do. Now the trail does continue and goes up over Persimmon Ridge. And that's a little bit more than I want to do right now. Maybe more you want to do with kids, but this is one of those little hikes I think would be really easy for a family to do. 2.5 miles. That is if you go down the trail around the lake up to the waterfall and back down again to the trailhead. And it's right there along the Saluda River. So if you want to take your kids and fish, you know, we talked about the trout they released there and that sort of thing. Could be one of those day long things. You go do a little hike and then you grab a little lunch and then you go a little fishing. But that's when I'm at my practice route. Probably next week I'll go up there, hike, and I'll probably go trout fishing because I haven't fished the Saluda in a while. And I want to come in here next week and say, yes, there are a lot of fish in the Saluda and here's how you go get them. The U.S. Forest Service, in connection with hiking and that sort of thing, they now offer an app from the USDA that you can get for your iPod, iPhone, iPad, and it also has an Android contingent. I'm an iPhone person just because that's what I've got, so I don't know anything about the other Android apps and that sort of thing. But it is on there. I looked it up. I didn't download it because I don't have enough space left on my phone. But it is an app. It's from the Avenza Systems, Inc. is the developer. It's the PDF Maps is how I found it. It looks really neat. But then again, when you have an app like this and when you really need it, will you be able to get the reception to use it? Been an interesting thing to do. If you hike a lot, it might be something you want to look into. I don't know that, like I said, the reception would be a problem, but it's there and it's all part of the federal government, and they're trying to open up more and more national forests and grasslands to hunting, fishing, hiking, camping. That all has to be. And this is just one more thing they want to offer in an attempt to help people to get out there. I'd be interested to know if anybody has any experience with it. call me. I'd love to talk to you and find out if it does work. I may try to delete a bunch of pictures off my phone and use it one day and give it a review, because right now it doesn't have any reviews. When I walked out this morning, my lab got me up about 6:45. I walked out and the bluebird started attacking me because they've got their nest started building in the bluebird house on the light pole. And it got me thinking, you know, what is an easy thing that you can do with your kids from your house that would get them maybe out from behind the computer and interest them in the outdoors, which is what this show is about. So I said, bird houses, bird feeders, that's an easy thing. And I actually have an article. Actually, it's 30 things you can do with your kids. And one of those little things it says is buddy up with the birds. And the nice thing about this is it doesn't matter where you live, because there are birds everywhere. I've got a bunch of them in my house, and it's always, I love sitting at my desk and I can watch them, and it's just kind of a little diversion. But think about a kid, get him a birdhouse. And I went up to Tractor Supply looking just to see. I mean, you can get birdhouses from $10 to $40. You know, a bag of seed, $6 or so. Barnes & Noble has some great birding books, $10 to $15. A cheap pair of binoculars, $15 or so. And I came with a little matrix here, $40, $50. You could get a setup, bird feeder, seed, a birding book, and you can get them specific to the southeast. Like I said, a cheap pair of binoculars, because they're going to drop them, throw them, leave them outside, that sort of thing. But what a really cool thing to do in your own backyard to get a kid interested in something else is to get him something like this, and he's got the full setup. Nothing else you need to do except keep that bird feeder filled, and the birds will keep coming. As I was going through some of the stuff, this is out of Rochester, New York, but it's kind of funny. Score one for the fish. The crime scene of a break-in at a Rochester's Hooked on Fishing shop showed evidence that a burglar got scared off by a motion-activated singing bass. The old Billy the Bass took one and ran the burglar off. Hope you enjoyed that one. Music's up. Show's over. Come again next Saturday. And during the week, get out. Be careful. Don't forget the camera. Thanks for listening.